Hello, this is Leslie Garfo-Tenzer, and this is Legal Tenzer, casual conversations on noteworthy legal topics. The Next Gen Bar is on every person's mind. Set to debut in July 2026, the Next Gen Bar will propose significant changes in the way the National Conference of Bar Examiners test and the way, in turn, that law schools will teach. Only a handful of states have yet to commit to the Next Gen Bar for July 2026, but I think many are likely to follow. My guest today, Professor Kimberly Holst, is an expert on the subject, and she's here to clear up what the bar may look like and what to expect. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I mean, I'll do my best to clear things up. I think there are still a lot of questions that answered by the National
Council. That's true. I think the biggest question is, how is testing going to be different for the Next Gen Bar than it is on the current bar?
Well, I think the biggest difference you'll see are the performance assessments are going to increase as opposed to the memorization component, which has been, you know, the main heart and soul of the bar exam. Of course, the multiple choice questions will still test that memorization a bit, but the essays, I think, were also largely memorization, and the performance assessments that will take their place are much more focused on not just being able to recall information, but being able to apply that in ways that we hope attorneys are applying it in the field.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I've actually, and I've said this before in this podcast, I've kind of changed the way I teach in that I now am doing only problems with students in class because I feel that that's what's going to be tested. And I think maybe it's important to explain what you mean by performance assessment. I mean, if you have an essay and the essay says, you know, I don't know, Jim asked Bill, will you buy my car for $100? And the issue is whether there is an offer. Like, right. Do you have to just write there's an offer, or do you have to, how's it going to look?
Right. That's a great question. So as far as we can tell, there will be a couple of different ways that they will assess performance. So the current multi-state performance test, there will still be something that looks a bit like that, which for those who are less familiar with that, it is some kind of task memo, usually from a senior attorney or something of that nature, that asks them to perform, you know, either write a memo, write a letter, et cetera, and then gives them the law and the hypothetical situation, and they draft whatever it is they were asked to draft. In addition to that, there will also be what are called integrated question sets, I believe is how they are named. And those question sets will almost be like taking a multi-state performance test and just kind of breaking it into pieces. So there might be a short statement of law, a short fact pattern, and then a question that's like, based on the information here, does your client have an offer? Then maybe followed with, if there's an offer, how would you counsel your client to respond, et cetera? So it would kind of build on the actual steps that an attorney would take and not just their knowledge of what constitutes an offer. Like, they still have to know that, but they have to know how
to apply it.
Yeah, exactly.
But so I guess my understanding of the performance test is that it's like almost like a closed book memorandum, right? Like what you do in your 1L year. So is it that they're having more of those, or is that going to be a little different from the closed book memo format?
Yeah, so I think it'll be a little bit different. So there will be that component of the multi-state performance test, at least as I understand the breakdown. But these integrated question sets will be kind of filtered through. So it will be shorter, either multiple choice questions, short answer questions, that kind of do the same thing that the multi-state performance test does, but in a much smaller way.
So I guess I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this a little bit. I guess first question is, are we still going to have the 200 MBE questions? Is that going to be a constant?
There will still be MBE questions. I don't recall how many, if the number is going to change.
Okay.
But there will still be that component.
Okay. And will there still be the performance test component of it?
I believe so. So I don't have the exact breakdown in front of me, but if you think of the current bar exam as kind of half essay, half multiple choice, right, multi-state performance, right, and the multi-state performance test ends up being, you know, like maybe 20% of the overall written part, the performance assessment now becomes much bigger, like closer to 60%
okay.
of the bar exam.
So do you think there is a need for law schools to teach differently given how the next gen bar is going to be administered? I mean, you know, schools say we don't teach to the bar, but, you know, they do. So
they do. And I think if the bar exam is something that is responsive to what attorneys will do in practice, then there's a better reason for teaching to the bar exam than simply teaching to the bar, you know, because you want students to pass it, which of course you want students to pass the bar. That's the ultimate goal of law school. But if the bar exam is better, and I hope that this next gen bar is better, I really do see potential for it to be better. If it will better prepare students for what they will encounter in practice, then it does make sense for teaching to adapt to what the expectations will be on the bar exam, because that means they're better preparing their students for practice as well as that bar exam. So I feel like there's a flow to the whole thing that could improve, you know, both student learning and preparation for practice. And I think that the changes don't have to be huge, right? I think if everybody thinks about incorporating some aspect of assessing performance in their teaching, whether that's, you know, having a problem set on their exam or asking questions in class that kind of break down a problem similar to the way the integrated question sets will, it's not a heavy, you know, heavy lift for anybody to incorporate small bits of this throughout their courses.
And that brings me to this whole idea of the doctrinal versus the skills being tested. I guess I'm having a tough time wrapping my head around this idea that the doctrinal is not as important as the skills, but it seems to me you need the doctrinal to be able to use the skills. So why is it that everyone's saying with the next gen memorization is not going to be as important?
That's a good question. I think it will be important. It's not as heavily the focus. And I think I may be speaking from my own personal experience, but I think there's literature out there in the education world to support this. But I think if you're memorizing information in the context of how it's going to be used, mm-hmm. as opposed to just memorizing because you have to memorize, you know, these are the 13 factors for determining child support or whatever, you have that context, which helps you understand and then remember the information. And I think memorization will be different. It won't be maybe less important, it will just be utilized in a different way. And I think a lot of professors anymore have moved away from having students completely rely on memory for exams. I'm seeing a lot more open book exams from faculty. And, you know, that suggests to me that the whole notion of just being able to recall information is so much less important in today's practicing world, because if you know how to find the information, you can access it. It doesn't always have to be, you know, just coming from your own brain. And maybe our brain muscles are better used thinking about these applications and tools as opposed to just holding on to information.
So it's funny that you say that, because I have a real opinion about closed book exams. I mean, first of all, I have a problem with open book exams for now, because for now the bar is closed book. So I think that students need to train. The other issue I have is that I agree with you that you can give the biggest open book exam and people will still not do well because they don't know how to, or they choose not to apply the law in an analytical way. Like I call that my undergrad head, right? Because in undergrad, all you have to do is memorize and spit it back out.
Exactly.
So I don't disagree with the idea of open book exams if students understand why they're important, because the reality is once you go out and practice, all the law you need is at your fingertips anyway.
Absolutely. Right. I agree. I think one of the things that many professors do is just assume that if you have an open book exam, the students will figure out the best way to utilize that. But that all goes back to the way we're teaching things. I mean, I really do think in courses where an exam is given in a particular way, so if it's an open book exam, you should be talking about why the student needs to adjust their strategy or think about how they are going to approach that exam, because all of that goes back to applying skills, thinking about how to most effectively use the resources that they'll have at their fingertips in order to enhance their performance, which again is ultimately what we want them to transfer into practice, right? Like thinking about the resources on hand, figuring out the best way to use them to get the most out of out of whatever it is they're doing. So I do think this notion of all we have to do is stand in front of the room and lecture at students, and then, you know, they can run off and take any kind of exam we give them. That's probably the mentality that has to change more than anything. Like, I think we still need to teach the substance. We still need to let the students understand how the substance works when we apply it. But maybe we need to be thinking more about how do we teach students to then take that knowledge and do something with it, whether it's take an exam or use it in practice.
So do you think this is going to change the way that bar companies deliver the goods to students?
That's a really good question. I think probably in some ways it will have to, because bar companies are successful when they get students to pass the bar. And if the way students are passing the bar is different, they'll have to adjust to give them the best strategies to do that. I mean, a lot of the things that the bar companies do to help students understand information in a memorizable way is not useless. I mean, it's still a helpful thing, but I think they'll have to take it a step further. I don't think they can just rest on, here are the ways that you memorize doctrine, and then, like, here's one chapter on the multi-state bar or the multi-state performance test. I think they'll have to be thinking about, okay, what kinds of questions will be asked in those integrated question sets, and what are the strategies for addressing those questions?
You know, I hope it's almost like a chicken and egg situation, but I do hope that a change in the bar will change the way students think about learning the law. Because I think when they think learning the law, they think learning like my legs, you know, right. And yeah. It's not learning my legs, which is the statute of frauds and, you know, marriage years, et cetera. It's about knowing when those come into play and how to apply them.
Absolutely. So I teach legal writing. And the first assignment we almost always start with is some kind of memo assignment. And over the years, students have asked, you know, when would I actually do this? Why would I ever write a memo? Wouldn't I always have more information than what you've given me here, et cetera? And I just tell students to take a second and think about it. You know, if you have a client who really just walked in, you've done the initial interview, and the partner says, can you do some preliminary research to see if they have a case? That's what the memo is.
Right.
And students don't think about that. They're like, well, wouldn't you just ask for more information or go get this from the client? I'm like, well, not if you're going to bill the client for that and find out that they don't have a case. They'll be unhappy that they've paid for it. So I think, yes, the whole notion of, like, what they're learning in law school needs to continue to move forward. I think students get really hung up on, like, what I'm here to do is learn the elements of the contract or whatever that is. And, you know, that light bulb eventually, I think, turns on for most students sometime. But if we could get it on earlier, I would be right. All for that.
Me too. So just, I have a couple more questions. I guess the first one is, should students worry about learning differently if they're going to be facing taking the next gen bar versus the traditional bar?
I would hope that instead of being worried about it, they'll feel like it is something that is part of their development towards becoming a practicing attorney. So that they maybe are learning it differently than students did previously, but it's because it's all to the same kind of end. This idea that law is a practical field, that we are generally training people to become practicing attorneys as opposed to, you know, robots who just memorize things or spout out information. So I would hope that they're not worried, but I do think they should be thinking about it.
All right. And let's talk then a little bit about the bar and who's going to be taking it in July 2026. I know a few states have adopted it. What do you think the momentum will be? And do you know which states have adopted it? And then what do you think?
I don't have a current list in my head, but I know that Arizona has. So, you know, okay. We are definitely here at my school looking at it because most of our students take the Arizona bar, or at least a high percentage of our students do. And so I know Arizona. I think there will be a lot of momentum to join in 27. Mm-hmm. I think some states don't want to be the first ones to go through it. And I believe they're still planning on stopping administration of the traditional bar exam in February of 28. I think I've got that date in mind. So, you know, states will either have to come on board relatively soon or, you know, think about going back to the days when states had state-specific bar exams. And I think most states don't want to go through that.
Right. Bar. I mean, and that's, I think, what people need to realize is that the National Conference of Bar Examiners produces this test, right, which is the bar exam, and states can either sign on and say, great, you've done the work for me, or they can go ahead and reinvent the wheel for themselves. And it seems that, and hence kind of the MBE, that's what, you know, right. MBE is this thought. I will say, because this is not a closed book podcast, that if I Googled correctly, Connecticut, Maryland, and Missouri and Oregon are also slated for 2026. Now, don't quote me. That's just what Google came up with, but that's what I am seeing.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think we see the emails coming through every few weeks with, oh, this state now has also adopted it. So, I mean, I would hope that any states that are planning to adopt it will make that decision sometime in the next couple of months so that incoming 1Ls know exactly what they'll be facing in 26. So I would guess that any states that are going to adopt it will have made the decision by this summer, but who knows? I don't know what the deadlines are for states to declare that for their own implementation.
So am I right in saying that this is kind of more a function of how it's graded than how it's administered?
I definitely think it's a little of both. So one of the problems, I think, with the essay questions on the current bar exam is that it is graded in that kind of keyword search mentality, right? Like we're looking for the test taker to mention these terms and use these terms in their response. I don't know how much context is considered around those terms. Certainly the way that the commercial bar prep companies teach is that the context is much less important than the use of the terms, which suggests to me that maybe they know something about the grading process that the states would not like us to think about the way it's graded. But if you just think of the sheer number of exams and how quickly they have to be graded, it does seem like it makes sense that they would be looking at keywords. And so with the integrated question sets, if those concepts are pulled out and students are addressing them either in multiple choice or short answer, I definitely think the grading task becomes one, simpler, and two, much more focused on the actual substance of the answer as opposed to just the use of keywords.
Yeah, I it's funny that you say that. I was thinking quite the opposite. I was thinking that they would have to look for more application rather than just a quick issue spot in the new next gen bar, but I guess I'm wrong.
Well, I'm just thinking that in terms of the integrated question sets being kind of broken out into more discrete.
Like short answer kind of.
Right. Yeah. So there's less to look for in each answer. Yeah.
And has the National Council Conference of Bar Examiners put out a sample next gen bar for anyone to look at yet?
Not that I know of. I know they've put out a couple of sample questions here and there for what the integrated question sets will look like. But, and they, of course, they have old multi-state performance tests available, and those have kind of given a good indication of how they structure the questions. So, but I have not seen or heard of a full exam. I do know, or I think I read recently that they have either just done or just going to do a test examination of the new exam. So I'll be very curious to hear what they find and what kinds of tweaks and adjustments we hear about once they've gone through that.
Me too. It'll be interesting to see what the grading of the guinea pig class is.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm hopeful that it is an easier grading process so that we can have a little more clarity in what the examiners are looking for. But it is yet to be seen. I mean, some of the questions they're asking are kind of client counseling questions. You know, what would you tell your client who's going into this negotiation, or what advice would you give them about this legal problem? And, you know, those are judgment calls oftentimes, depending on how the information is presented. So if the question is articulated really clearly and the answer is somewhat obvious, I think that's an easier task. But if the questions are tricky, as the multiple choice questions are often a little bit designed to make students waver between a couple of options, we'll see what happens when you have that element of judgment kind of factoring in.
Well, this has been super interesting. I really have learned a lot from you and I appreciate it. And I guess the key is to keep your eyes open, A, for a sample test, and B, for when your jurisdiction is going to be offering it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can subscribe if you go to the website for the NCBE, and I think they have a section on the Next Gen Bar, so you can get updates as they come out, which is, you know, just really helpful, because otherwise you're keeping track of so many moving parts at this point.
Right. It's true. Well, thank you for being our expert on this topic. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, or a professor or attorney with whom you'd like me to speak, send us an email at legaltenzer@westacademic.com and send us any suggestions you may have. We love getting feedback. Have a great day. This podcast was created in collaboration with West Academic. Additional episodes can be found on the West Academic Study Aids collection. Students may already have access through their school subscription and can check with their law school library for access. For a limited time, Legal Tenzer listeners can save 15% on titles on the West Academic store with the promo code TENZER15 at checkout.